Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text for meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 15 and 16 and 26 to 33. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up, and motioning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen." Then we jump to verse 26. "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose death and resurrection is the heart and core of all that we preach, and all that we teach to fellow redeemed. The conversion of the persecutor Saul to the apostle Paul is most known to most of us. The Lord God called Paul a chosen vessel of him, of his, whom he would use to proclaim his name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Well, our text today is the first recorded sermon preached by the Apostle Paul after his conversion in the synagogue in Antioch in Pisidia early on in his first missionary journey. It was customary for synagogue leaders to ask traveling rabbis to preach a sermon or to speak to the people in their synagogue. Well, Paul and Barnabas were not rabbis, and so we assume that the religious leaders there at the synagogue somehow knew that Paul and Barnabas were well-versed in the Old Testament and capable of teaching the Scriptures. And so they asked them to speak to the people. So Paul had his chance. What would he say? What would he speak about? What would he teach and preach about to his fellow Jews? Well, there's no question. He'd speak about Jesus. He'd tell them that Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin Mary, is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. He's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He'd talk about his death and his resurrection, and especially stressing the resurrection. And so today we have as our theme a resurrection testimonial. Paul testified about the resurrection. And his testimonial contains two parts. First of all, the Old Testament pointed to the resurrection of Jesus. And secondly, the resurrection of Jesus is the focal point of the New Testament. We note at the beginning of Paul's sermon that he's speaking to Jews and also some God-fearing Gentiles. We call them proselytes, who were converted to Judaism. But it's quite surprising that at this point and other times in Paul's ministry, when he speaks to Jews and Gentiles together, it's the Gentiles who receive and welcome Jesus as Lord and Savior more often than the Jews. Paul uses the term the message of salvation. That's not just a message about salvation. That means it is the very means of salvation by which the Holy Spirit creates faith. We call that the means of grace. In this case, the gospel in word. The gospel doesn't just tell someone about how they're saved. The gospel imparts salvation to the heart of the individual that's hearing or reading the word of God by creating faith in their hearts. As one commentator wrote, the gospel does not just teach that one must believe in order to be saved, but the gospel creates that faith through which one is saved. Or as Paul writes later on in his book to the Romans, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek, the Gentiles. Well, Paul says that this message of salvation has been sent out to you. And literally that word sent out in the Greek means to send out to accomplish a mission. And that's what the gospel is to do. The gospel is to be proclaimed because it's on a mission. What's the mission? The salvation of souls, the salvation of all lost souls, Jew and Gentile alike. So in the verses that we skipped, from verse 17 to 25, Paul, in the first part of his sermon, starts off by telling these Jews and reviewing for them the history of the children of Israel. He starts with Moses and talks about how Moses and people of Israel were in Egypt, and then they were enslaved for 400 years. They were set free, crossed the Red Sea, and then the 40 years of wandering. And then he talks about the judges, and then he talks about King Saul and King David. And then in verse 23, he declares, from this man's seed, David's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior. And now he mentions Jesus. Jesus is that Savior from the line of King David. And then Paul says in his text that God's purposeful plan of salvation was fulfilled when evil men from the Jews rejected Christ, condemned him, even though, Paul says, even though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. So Paul says all they were doing was fulfilling the Old Testament scriptures, fulfilling those Old Testament prophecies, which you read every Sabbath right here in this synagogue. Someone has counted 33 fulfilled prophecies in Jesus' arrest, trial, condemnation, and crucifixion. 33 prophecies in the Old Testament pointing to those events on Good Friday. They did this, Paul says, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which were read every Sabbath. Paul's not saying that this ignorance excuses them. What Paul is trying to do is erase the ignorance in the hearts and minds of these Jewish people. Paul's saying, it's all there. It's all there in the Old Testament scriptures, the prophecies. And yet, these Jewish leaders and these Jewish people didn't see it, and they crucified Jesus. They put him to death. However, we should not blame the Jews only, the unbelieving Jews of Jesus' day, to put him to death. Ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, from every generation on down, every single sinner is responsible for Jesus' death. My sins, your sins, put Jesus on the cross to suffer and die. We're in that long, long list of sins, of sinners as well, that are responsible for Jesus' death. I read somewhere that in 1633, the great painter Rembrandt made that very point in a very striking way. He painted a picture called Raising of the Cross. And right there in the middle of the picture is a picture of a person lifting Jesus' cross, and he is in a painter's beret. It's Rembrandt himself in the picture lifting Jesus' cross. He's guilty too. But not only is the resurrection of Jesus prophesied in the Old Testament, so is also, or the death of Jesus prophesied in the Old Testament, so also is the resurrection. We read, Paul says, but God raised him from the dead. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Paul here is saying what he also wrote in Romans 1 verse 4, that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is God's Son from eternity, who took on human form, human flesh and blood like us, and God the Father raised his Son to show to the world that he is his Son, that Jesus is the Son of God. So, Paul is talking to Jewish people and some Gentiles who have been brought to faith in the Messiah, and he's saying, the Old Testament pointed to the resurrection of this man named Jesus, who is the very Son of God. And the second part of his sermon is, the resurrection of Jesus is the very focal point of everything we now teach. He didn't say in the New Testament, but in this New Testament times. We read verses 30 to 32. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. Sinful people killed Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. And in so doing, the Father accepted his Son's sacrifice as complete payment for the sins of every single person ever conceived in the history of the world. When God the Father raised his Son, he said, we are all justified, not guilty, sins removed. We also read in Scripture that Jesus raised himself from the dead. In fact, Jesus said, I'll lay down my life and I'll take it back up again. Those passages attest to the fact that Jesus is true God. But 80% of all resurrection references emphasize the Father's acceptance of his Son's sacrifice and mention the Father raising the Son from the dead. That means we need never doubt. Jesus' resurrection proves Jesus is God the Son. Jesus is the Savior who redeemed us and paid for all of our sins. And Jesus' resurrection proves that we too, someday, on the last day, will rise to heaven. Jesus' resurrection is the foundational truth, the foundational fact upon which we base our faith. Again, sometime later, when Paul's talking to the people in Athens, he says to them, God has given assurance of this means of the forgiveness of our sins, to all by raising Jesus from the dead. This is now the seventh time in the book of Acts that this phrase is used, but God raised him from the dead. And this is also now the seventh time that the disciples were cited as being eyewitnesses to the resurrection or to the resurrected Jesus. This was the focal point of all that they taught in those early days after the resurrection. Jesus died, but he was risen again. Paul's sermon and his emphasis on the resurrection was not unique. Jesus' resurrection is mentioned over 200 times in the New Testament. It was the heart of the early church's message. It's what they proclaimed to people. And even the unbelieving historian Josephus saw the emphasis of the Christians in his big volume of Complete Works of the Antiquities of the Jews, where he writes on page 379, the disciples reported that he had appeared to them 3 days after his crucifixion and that he was alive. A secular history of the Jewish people. Now, when Paul preached this sermon in Antioch of Pisidia, it was 15 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. The vast majority of the Jewish people did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah, did not believe in him as the one sent by the Jehovah God to save them. And that's why Paul customarily started his preaching in the synagogue to talk to the Jews and say, you know what you read every Sabbath? You know what you read? You know what you find in the prophecies? Jesus! Jesus' resurrection! Jesus' death! It's all there! It's found in the Old Testament scriptures, the very heart and core of what we Christians preach today. Well, What were the results of Paul's first sermon recorded in Antioch? Well, let's read about it. Verses 42 to 46. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." And then we're told, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. We see how much the early Christian church highlighted and emphasized the resurrection of Jesus. For Easter is not just a one-day celebration, or even a six-week celebration that we have in our church year. The empty tomb gives us assurance every day of our lives that our Savior suffered and died to pay for all of our sins. Every day we hear Jesus forgives us because he rose from the dead. And that ever-living Savior daily watches over us, guides us, protects us, provides for us, and strengthens our faith through his powerful word. The resurrection, the empty tomb, is the proof of our salvation. Jesus' death and resurrection was foretold and was pointed to in the Old Testament scriptures. And the resurrection of Jesus is the focal point of the whole New Testament. May that also be the most important message that we proclaim to others in our life and in our world today. Especially today, when every day you hear more and more deaths. Every day in the news, more and more deaths, not only through COVID, but in other ways. We've got the answer. We've got the answer to death. Tell people, Jesus died and rose again from the dead. And Jesus says to us, because I live, you will live also. Yes, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our risen and ever-living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.